I want to go to our final segment, which is our chic tips. So we're going to go back around the room now again. And the chic tip just gives you the opportunity to kind of sum up somewhat of a lessons of advice from, you know, what's been a tremendous career that each of you have had. One piece of advice you'd offer to someone else who's maybe just starting down this kind of a career journey. So Heather, actually, we'll start with you.
Great.
Took you by surprise there.
Awesome.
I know you're ready to share. I can just tell
I'm
you've got a great one.
Ready to make something up on the fly. No, Paige had a great piece of advice about operating agreements. I think I'm going to go sort of more broad spectrum in this. Anytime you hire a professional, whether it's one of the four lawyers in this room or an accountant, my advice has always been to clients, you know, hire someone that you like, hire someone that you respect their competency, hire someone that you say, I want to call that person on the phone and work with that person, and then worry about pricing, and then worry about their structure. Because I think something that Jackie said is very true, the paradigm of the big firm, a lot of people think because they have a firm that's multinational, that's what they need to find a good lawyer. And it's true, there are good lawyers in every firm in Atlanta. There are good lawyers in every firm in this country, frankly. But the fact of the matter is you want to find somebody that you want to work with. And the price tag may or may not matter, depending on the mindset of the person that you're working with. So I always tell my clients, you know, work with people you like and that you want to work with. So, and that goes for professionals. And sometimes I think clients think that, you know, a lot of people, small businesses, they don't know any lawyers. And so they don't know what a lawyer's supposed to look like. And you know what? You know, lawyers just think a little differently about situations. So I always tell my clients, you know, when I meet someone, I'm like, you know, give me a call if you ever need anything. If you don't, or even if you need a referral to a good plumber, you know, but if you like me, call me. If you don't, I know 100 other lawyers that do great work that I could refer you to, because if they don't like you, they won't call you and then they won't get the good advice that they need.
Well, that's a wonderful philosophy and a great piece of advice. So thank you for that. Paige Arden-Stanley, what would be your chic tip that you can pass on some of the lessons that you've learned over the years?
Well, Elizabeth, in thinking about this question, I'm going to go back to something that I said when I was on a panel to the University of Georgia School of Law, their second and third year law students, about being a solo practitioner. And I think it kind of applies not just to attorneys, but also to business owners as well. And at the end of the day, it is your reputation. And as a small business owner or a solo practitioner or whatever it is, and I think that it's very important to assess what your goals, your priorities are, listen to your clients' needs, and be responsive. I hear a lot that not, and I know none of the attorneys in this room do this, but attorneys don't always return phone calls timely. Attorneys don't respond to emails. And I have gotten work from clients because they were tired of that lack of attention that they were receiving. So kind of going back to what Jackie said earlier about treating everyone's dollars like my dollars, you know, I'm going to treat every client with, you know, respect and respond to them in a timely manner. And that's kind of my advice to people thinking about starting their own business, you know, the existing entrepreneurs out there. It's something that I'm always trying to remind myself of. It's my reputation at the end of the day.
Absolutely. And so guard it with that highest degree of integrity.
Absolutely.
And now over to Rebecca Preen, Counsel to Creativity. What would your chic tip be for us, Rebecca?
The first thing that comes to mind is not to put up a wall between your professional life and your other deep interests, that really your deep interests, what you care about, really does inform your professional life and can be the key to really having a meaningful business and enjoy it. So that's the first thing. I have a couple intellectual property law tips also. One is really don't depend upon the availability of a domain name. My clients again and again and again come with the understanding that somehow the domain registrar is related to the trademark office, and that because, you know, .gov was available but .com wasn't, that they can use this. And then they come up in violation, and then they come to me and they get a large bill along with a lot of frustration. That's the first thing. You cannot depend that you're not upon that domain registration for not violating somebody else's trademark, even if you decide that a trademark for the name is not the best thing for your company. And the second piece, thing that I see happen most common is that people come together to do a project in some kind of joint venture, and they never state who the ownership is of the new intellectual property. They state what's going to happen at that one time, what the compensation is for that kind of one time together, and they never state who owns what and what the rights are going forward. And they're can be a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of hurt feelings and tension when that's not done. So thanks for having me.
Excellent points. Jackie?
Well, I've, first of all, with regard to dealing with a lawyer and selecting a lawyer, and also any lawyers who want to go a different route that like we in the room have done, I think what was the critical thing for me to be able to really be different and actually be successful, increasingly successful in this new thing of ISP strategy, which I'm pretty much making up along as I go along. But my Twitter name is at IP Strategist, so I guess it's better me than anybody else. But it was networking outside my comfort zone. As lawyers, we always hang out with other lawyers. And maybe that's why people say, I can't talk to lawyers. It's because it's like Mars and Venus. We never go hang out with regular people. We just go network with other lawyers. So I think that if you meet a lawyer at some place that you don't think lawyers should be, that's probably a really good thing. Because that means they're probably less of a lawyer than a lot of the lawyers that you've met. You may be able to communicate with them better. And if you are a lawyer wanting to break out of a big law firm or out of the traditional law firm practice, go hang out with people where it's not necessarily comfortable for you. It can be terrifying the first few times to show up at a meeting and have to have a conversation with a business person. But, you know, they're a lot more fun than lawyers. Trust me on that. And that's been just a wonderful experience. I would like to also give an intellectual property tip. Excuse me. If you've already decided that you need a patent and you have this belief that if I just get a patent, I'm going to make $1 zillion, trust that the adage that build a better mousetrap and people will build a path to your door is absolutely wrong. There are gazillions of patents. More than 90% of patents are worthless. If all it took to be a patent, to be rich was a patent, there would be a lot more rich people and a lot fewer rich patent lawyers. So stop, think about it, and go talk to other people. Don't be afraid to talk to other people before you go talk to a lawyer, because chances are if you go immediately to a patent lawyer, you're going to have a really expensive plaque to put on the wall at the end of the day.